we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM or WWBC 1510 AM right here in Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and you are listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. And we're thankful for the opportunity we have to spend a few minutes with you. I do want to let you know that we have our Sunday morning service this week. We do not have a Sunday night service. So we'll also be broadcasting on Facebook Live this coming Sunday morning. Normally we start about 11:15, I believe it is. What time I get to start preaching? That's when we show up. And I just want to say thank you to my daughters who have helped make that a reality as we enter a technological age. Not sure that our attendance numbers are going up as a result of that, but you know what? If the Word of God is getting out there, the past 2 weeks I have preached a couple of messages. One, the first one was on living an offended life. This last week I preached a message on Christians on the offense, that we are not supposed to be defensive minded, but God wants us to be having an offensive mindset of taking the gospel to those who are perishing and plundering the kingdom of darkness and populating the kingdom of heaven. And so I pray that you are being as bold as a lion and stepping out in faith. But if you want to come to one of our services Sunday morning, we have Sunday school at 9:30, and Sunday worship begins at 10:30. We have children's church that is running at that concurrent time as well. So one day last week, I got a phone call. I happened to be at home. I think I'd gone by there to eat some lunch and let the dog out and stuff like that. And someone called and they said, "Hey, we're going to be in your area. Can we come inspect your roof?" And I said, "You know what? I have got a roofer that I trust implicitly. I don't need your services." And some other people, my son had a neighbor that ended up having to have a roof replaced. And I just wanted to recommend to you today Barnhart Roofing. 543-0711 is the number I have for him, Lewis Barnhart Roofing. He's a supporter of the radio station here, and he has done work on our church. And I tell you, out of all the roofers I've ever dealt with, I really enjoyed working with him. Him and his crew did a great job. They were very professional. Their customer service was absolutely superb. And so I want to encourage you today. We interviewed several roofers, and this was the company that we chose to go with, and we do not regret it for 1 minute. And so if I can recommend to you a roofer, should you need one. By the way, all of these people that I recommend to you, they're people that I've actually had interaction with. And if you don't need them today, it would still be in your best interest to write down their numbers, because you will probably need them eventually. If you don't need a roof today, you will probably need a roof at some point in time in the future. And I recommend Barnhart Roofing, 543-0711 to you. I just, they didn't ask me to do that. I just wanted to recommend somebody to you, because I don't like to see people get taken advantage of. And anyway, let's move on to the Word of God today, where we're going to be looking at some of these statements. Yesterday on the broadcast, we talked about how you are not alone. God knew you before you were born. He formed you on purpose for his purpose, and that he is with you so that you and I can go forth. Today, I want to take you back to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14 is where we're going to read today, and we're going to touch on a few more of Pastor Craig's declarations that he speaks over his life that counteract the lies of the devil and helps to provide restraint and vision and direction for his life. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Pastor Craig's declaration is, I am fierce in confidence and boldness because God is with me. The fact that Jesus Christ is our high priest who knows everything that we have ever been tempted with, and yet he went through it without sin. I do not have that declaration. I do have the testimony that most of the temptations that I've ever faced in life, I have come through successfully, but I can't say all of the temptations. I don't have that spotless past. I remember T.D. Jakes preaching a message one time, and he said that that he was listening to some preachers, and he was talking about their testimony, how they had never messed up, they had never made bad choices, they had never done anything, and he said, I'm sorry, but I have a tough time relating to that because I've made some mistakes. And today I want you to know I may not have the testimony that I'm mistake-free in life, but I do have a Savior who is. That doesn't give us excuse to go on and continue sinning. It's not a license to sin. The grace of God is not a get out of jail card or a get out of hell card for free. It is the grace of God is empowering us to live the life that God created us to live in the first place. The grace of God comes and picks us up off the path of disaster, and he puts us on the path of righteousness. The grace of God is the unmerited favor of God. That is true, but that favor is empowering us. And it says here in verse number 16 that we can come boldly before the throne of grace to find help in time of need. Isn't it interesting that when people who are not living for Jesus, when they think of the throne of God, they think of it in terms of there's two aspects. One is it's a throne of judgment, and that's, listen, apart from Jesus Christ, that's all we have to look forward to. Apart from him being our personal Lord and Savior and walking in the grace of God, all we have to look forward to is the judgment of God, where we are not going to be able to talk our way out of it. I remember when I was in school, I took a final exam, and I was woefully unprepared for the final exam. And it's not that I was a bad student. It just, this happened to be just a really, really difficult test. And after laughing when I saw the questions, because it involved the footnotes of the footnotes, there were three different levels of print, three different font sizes on the page. And some of the questions had to do with, well, it was probably the equivalent of like a size 4 font. I mean, it was just very, very tiny. And after laughing, I just started writing. And I walked out of that test and I said, man, there was a snowstorm in Springfield, Missouri today. Because I was just writing and I had no idea if anything that I wrote was what they were looking for or whether it wasn't. And when I got a passing grade on that, I said, you know what, that's just the grace of God. But the grace of God is not a gift from God to empower us to completely or to continue in being ignorant of God's word. You do realize that once we have had something revealed to us, that we are therefore accountable for how we are going to handle that information. And so I want to make sure that I'm accountable for what I do. So here it says that because of who Jesus is, we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Prayer is not something that we should be timid about. We are not there. We are not in the presence of the King because we are beggars. We are there because we are children of the Most High God. We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Jesus made a way for us to come into the presence of the Father. He said, from up until this point, you've not asked anything in my name. I've just been taking care of these things for you. But from now on, you will pray and my Father will give you whatever you need, whatever you ask for. Now, there are some contingencies there. One of these days we'll look at that study and we'll show you some of the things that are requirement, because a lot of people walk away thinking, well, they just look at that statement in context. Well, if I ask for God for anything that I need, he's going to give it to me. And a lot of times they're asking from their wants, and they're also asking for their own selfish desires. They're asking because of disobedience in their life. There are a lot of different things that are going on that they don't line up. And then when they don't get the answer that they want, then they become bitter and jaded against God, and then they're led down a very difficult path because they reject God. Well, I tried God and it didn't work. I tried God and it didn't help me at all. Where a Christian comes and says, I can come boldly because it's not a throne of judgment for me, it is a throne of grace. The other mindset that the world has is that everybody's going to heaven just because they existed. And I want you to know that that's not the case. One of the statements that I made in my sermon on offense is that in the land of darkness, light is offensive, and in the land of lies, truth is offensive. Probably one of the most profound things that's come out of my mouth in a while, at least for me. That part of the message, it wasn't even in my notes. It became, as far as I know, it wasn't in my notes. It just became the trigger moment of that message for me. It's like, that's a word I need to hear. And I was the one preaching. So, we can come boldly before the throne of grace to find help in time of need. God is there waiting to help us, wanting to help us. And so do not be timid. I pray that timid believers in Jesus Christ would become a thing of history, not having a part in our present reality. I pray that you would become filled with faith, filled with boldness, and that faith and that boldness, that it would affect our prayer time, it would affect our study time, it would affect our family time, it would affect what we do for the kingdom. I shared on yesterday's program that this world could be transformed if we were just able to reach four people. If every believer in Jesus Christ just touched four people in a year, the world could be impacted in a glorious manner. It's not an astronomically incomprehensible plan to see the world come to faith in Jesus Christ. There is an ability to do that. But it's going to require some bold believers who get out of their comfort zone and say, you know what, God can accomplish this. So be bold and be confident because God is with you. John chapter 8 is where we're going to turn for the next point. John, the 8th chapter, and let's begin reading at verse number 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, and you are my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And so Pastor Craig's confession, his statement, his declaration over his life is, "I am free. I am free." Now, there's some things that are involved in the process of liberating us from the traps of the enemy. Okay, so let's go back and look at them, because we need to look at verses 31 and 32. By the way, let's look at verse 33 first. "They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?'" I always found that to be an interesting verse, because they were under Roman occupation at that time. They were not living in freedom. If a Roman centurion walked up to them and said, "Hey, you're going to carry my bags for the next mile," then they were under obligation, no arguments. They were going to pick it up and they were going to carry the soldier's gear, because that was who the actual authority in the land was. Pilate was the one. You look at the crucifixion of Jesus, the Sanhedrin is there, and they are making their case to Pilate to have Jesus crucified. Pilate was actually the authority there, but he was a very insecure authority. And so when the Sanhedrin made their case, they said, "Look, he claimed to be a king, and if you don't take this seriously, then we're going to go above your head to a higher authority." And so there was this real, there was layers of authority over them. And they said, we're not in bondage. And I want you to know today that denial can be one of the most difficult prisons for a person to find themselves in. I remember having a conversation with a person who said, "I could go to a bar." He said, "I could drink 12 or 13 beers. And at the end of that time, if you asked me whether or not I was drunk, I would tell you no." And that's denial. His blood alcohol level would tell a different story than what his mind and his intellect were telling him. He thought that he had everything under control. And I don't care if it's 12 or 13 anything. If you're eating 13 entrees, if you're eating 13 ice cream cones, if you're eating 13 candy bars, if you're drinking 13 sodas, you're not walking in balance. That thing has a hold on you. And there is not a stronghold that the enemy has ever erected that is for the benefit of those people who are imprisoned by it. And so the first thing that you need to understand is whether or not there is a stronghold in your life. Then Jesus goes on, and with that being the background, these people were deceived. They didn't think that they were in bondage. Verse number 31, we're moving up a few verses. "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him." Okay, there was different forms of communication that Jesus had depending upon the audience to whom he was speaking. When he was dealing with religious leadership, there was one tone. When he was dealing with unbelievers, there was another tone. And then when he was with his disciples, or the believers, those people who had put their faith and trust in him, there was a level of instruction. That's why they were called disciples. They were following him. He was their teacher. He was their rabbi, if you will. He was instructing them. He was living out faith before them, and they were to be following that. Too many people just hear and they soak in the message without ever putting it into application. And I want you to know that information without application will still leave you imprisoned. There has to be an application of it. And so he's talking to his believers. He's these people who had put their faith in him, and he's sharing with them things that the rest of the people that I just mentioned to you weren't ready to receive. Then Jesus said to those who believed him, "If you abide in my word," "you are my disciples indeed." The Word of God should not be optional for you and I. We should be feasting on the Word of God. We should look at the Word of God as a banqueting table. We have seen some interesting things through the years. I asked a man to open the service in prayer one night. This was a Sunday night years ago. And when he came up to open up the service, he came up and he put a napkin on and he had a fork in one hand and a knife in one hand. And he said, "Wow, what an amazing spiritual feast that we had this morning." He said, "I came back. I'm ready to feast again." And that's really the mindset that we need to have in the Word of God, where it's not just coming in one ear and out the other. You know, I have a difficult time remembering people's names if I'm just encountering them for a season. You know, I'll talk to them, they'll tell me what their name is, and if I'm not intentional about it, I can forget their name before they ever get done saying it. And so there are people that I use some little mnemonic tricks. I associate them with other people who have similar names, and sometimes it's a similar something that's similar that helps me to remember them. There's the opposite. There was a minister that I know. He was from South America, and the first time I met him, he told me what his name was. His name was Boris, and from that point on, I called him Hector. And finally, after about the third time, I developed this little aid and says, "Okay, it's one of two names. It's either Boris or Hector. And Hector is the one that's geographically, appropriate for where he is from. But I know that the one that's geographically appropriate isn't the right one, so his name is Boris." That's literally how I had to go about remembering his name. A lot of people are the same way with the Word of God. They hear it and they go home. A friend of mine told me that there was an evangelist that came and he was at the church one morning and he preached a message. And I mean, it was absolutely phenomenal. And everybody was saying amen. And everybody was having a great time and just a really lively service. And he came back that Sunday night and everybody was expecting great things. And he said, "I've got one question for you." And he said, "We had a powerful service this morning, didn't we?" And they said, "Yes, it was powerful." And he said, "What did I preach on?" And it was a large congregation and nobody could remember what he preached on from that morning. And he said, "Look, if we just had a powerful service this morning and by tonight you had already forgotten what word had gone forth this morning, why should I waste our time preaching another message tonight?" And what he did in that point in time was he preached a powerful message on the value of the Word of God. The Word of God is not supposed to be quickly heard and then forgotten. It is supposed to be heard and it suddenly takes up residence inside of you. If you want freedom, you've got to abide in His Word, live in His Word, and allow His Word inside of you. And he says, "You are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth." You shall know the truth. And so if you'll forgive me, in the land of deception, in the land of lies, truth is offensive. But I will tell you this, also in a land of lies, truth is refreshing. If you ever get sick and tired of people lying to you, then you find it very honest or very refreshing when somebody tells you the truth. There was a homeless person that we ministered to. His name was Rick. And he came up to me one night and he said, "Bob, I need some money." And I said, "Rick, I'll be honest with you. I said, I don't give out money." And he said, "Bob, I'm going to be honest with you. I need money for a beer." And I said, "Rick, I'm going to be honest with you. I said, I'm not going to help fund your stronghold." And he said, "At least I was honest with you." And I said, Yes, and at least I'm being honest with you too. You shall know the truth. I pray that you know the truth. The truth of what God says, not the truth as other people explain it, that you will get into the Word of God and you will discover the truth for yourself. If you want to be able to say, I am free, first of all, you've got to admit that you're in bondage. Second, you've got to believe in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that He is able to set the captives free. It's what He came to do. Third, you've got to abide in the Word of God and allow the Word of God to live inside of you. The fourth thing is you've got to know the truth of God's Word. You've got to embrace it. You've got to say, you know what? I've tried everything else and it's failed. I'm tired of people lying to me and I want the truth. And it says the fifth thing is the truth shall set you free. The truth shall set you free. It's the truth that believers know because the Word of God abides in them. That is the source of freedom. You know, we have a ministry called Teen Challenge that was started by David Wilkerson. It's part of the Assemblies of God ministry. It's a program that sees addicts, male and female, young and old. It's called Teen Challenge, but it really is not a teen problem as much as it is a societal problem. And so we have that program, and they will take you through a discipleship program to where they will walk you through the steps. But I want you to know something. I'm thankful for that. It's helped a lot of people. The last statistical thing that I heard was that it was about an 87% success rate. In fact, it is so successful that there are countries in the world that are hostile to Christianity who have such a tremendous drug problem that they will invite Teen Challenge in to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ because they just need somebody to help them get the drug addicts free. Thankful for that program. But I also know this. I know people who've had addiction issues that the Word of God took root in their heart and they were instantaneously set free. They are not in remission. They are delivered because of the goodness and the greatness of God. They are some of the most fantastic people you will ever meet in your entire life. Some of the most amazing Christians. They were once in strongholds, but the truth set them free. Today, this weekend, be free in Jesus' name. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.